Access number 30417, Mr. Lance Hughes, Real 2. Now, we're talking about your time with the training regiment at Kinloe Park Camp Rill from, July 55, late July, through to, October. What about, how did you get on with the instructors? What did you think of them? What do you think?
I thought they were good guys that would help you. They weren't bullies by any means, you know.
Was there a lot of shouting and bawling and swearing, or was it all...
No, not really, no. Shouting as on a parade ground, yeah. But nothing else. I never had any trouble at all.
Do you think they knew the stuff, the instructors?
Yes. Oh, yes. The instructors we had who actually lived in the billets with us, they were more on the physical side, the marching and the gym and things like that. But they were good guys.
And what about the technical ones? Where do you meet? What were they like?
Well, they were all right, yeah.
Now, what about preparing for kit inspections? You know, getting those brown boots polished, all the rest of the stuff you had to do.
A nightmare.
Tell us how you did it. You can start with the brown boots.
Yeah, I had the brown boots, and I had to get some stain, and I stained them black. And they just didn't seem to want to polish up as good as a black one in the finish. You weren't threatened, but they said they will be ready by the next day. And I used to worry a little bit about... Sorry, Peter. Wait a minute. I used to worry a bit about that because I couldn't get these bloody things work. And I'd never used an iron before, which I'm a killer at it now.
So what did you have to iron? Everything?
Well, mainly your battle dress. Because they were all like covered in, it was like serge, and you had a hell of a job to press them, but we got there. Some people used to shave the hairs off them, you know, make them smooth.
But you didn't do that?
No.
Now, what about blancoing? Yeah. Can you explain what blanco is and how you did it?
Well, it's water based, and it comes in a sort of a powder or a paste, and you mix it in with a brush, and then you just brush it onto your webbing. And it dries quite nicely, but you had you didn't have belt and gaiters. You had your bloody packs as well to do, so you had like a big backpack and your pouches on here and your webbing that went over your shoulders. It wasn't a very nice job, really.
And what about getting your room ready? You know, how were you?
That wasn't so bad at. And real, as long as it was clean. But there wasn't no real bullshit on the floors or nothing like that, which happened later on when I went to the regiment.
Would you have to did you have to lay your stuff out space
yes,
on the bed?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, you had a thing called a bedroll where you had one blanket and you had to lay everything out, so you had a blanket, a white sheet, a blanket, a white sheet, and it was all wrapped in like a square, so it looked like a sandwich on the end of your bed. And you had another cover over the bed, which had to be, in theory, tight as a bloody drum, because they were trying to be clever and throw something on it, and it would have to bounce up. And then you had your boots and everything else all laid out, your knife and fork and your pot. That was all on there. But they weren't that much interested in bullshit where we were, because it was more like the technical side. You know, if I'd been an infantryman or something like that, I think it would have been worse.
Now, what would you do for recreation? I mean,
couldn't go out, couldn't go anywhere.
What about, did you have a canteen? What was a canteen like?
No, that was all, that was okay.
I mean, would you have a drink? Was it a dry one?
You could have a nuffy, there was a nuffy there, yeah.
And would you have a drink in there?
Yeah.
You'd enjoyed a drink before.
Yeah.
Right?
The only good thing I didn't do was I never smoked. And I've seen some lads who did smoke, when they run out of cigarettes, it would get to them. And when they got the pay on a Thursday, straight down the naffy, and they would buy 200, and they would all be gone by the Monday.
Why didn't you smoke? Because a lot of people did, especially in those days, and especially if they drank.
I tried, and I couldn't. I tried to inhale, and I couldn't. And I was 23 years old when I did start.
But you didn't start there.
And no.
So there was nothing really for you to do at all during the, you know,
Well, no, not really.
Now, anything? Did you make any special pals while you were there?
Not so much at Rill, no, no.
And anything else you remember about your time there?
The only thing I can remember, when I was coming out to go to regiment, I met an old friend of mine. He was coming in, and he still lives in Durham, although he's a Cumbrian lad, and he never moved. He finished up as a PTI there.
Now, was there a big passing out parade? Do you remember?
No, no, so nothing.
So that was just the finish. So the only training you'd had had been on the 19 wireless set and on a bit of voice procedure. That's all you'd done, really?
Yeah, yeah.
So you weren't that technical at the time?
No.
So what happens next then?
Well, that was when I found out I was being posted to Salisbury Plain, Tidworth.
So who were you joining there?
The 61st Field Regiment. Who had just returned, actually, from Korea. I went home on leave first. I went straight home from Rill. I went home to Durham.
When would this be? October or November?
October time, yeah. I was home for a few days. It was all my kit bagged up, bloody lot. And then I had to go back to Tidworth. I got to Tidworth, which I didn't even have a clue where it was at, but I got there. And I was told there and then not to unpack. I said, why? He says, you're going to firing camp at Otterburn the next day. So the train stopped in Durham on the way up, and I nearly bloody jumped off.
Now, what do you remember about attending firing camp? I mean, that must have been a bit strange, not knowing.
Well, the first time I made it, the field regiment has 25 pounders, and they took us out the first night, and stood beside his gun, and I heard him say, fire. It went off, it was the biggest bang I've ever heard in my life. My guts nearly fell out. And there was all these flames, and I thought, this isn't for me. I think I'm in the wrong bloody regiment. But it was more like, up there in October time, it was like the Somme. It was cold, it was wet, and we didn't have nothing really to do. We finished
it. So the bang really gave you a shock?
It did. To be right beside it when you weren't expected.
And just which gun was it?
25 pounder.
And did you get used to it?
Never got near another one all the time I was in. I was in the observation post. That's as close as I ever got.
Now, what were you doing at Otterburn? You said the conditions were bad. Tell me about the conditions.
Well, it was cold, it was wet. We were living in tents. You had to go and fill your own palliasse with straw. And the water was actually running. They were on duck boards, but you could see the water running right through the middle of them.
And what kind of training were you doing?
Nothing there at all. I was peeling potatoes. I was looking at you working in the canteen. Nothing to do with the regiment at all at that time. Didn't know anybody. In fact, there was nobody with us who I'd been in training with.
What was it like doing kitchen fatigues? People always joke about kitchen fatigues, but what are they? You put on them, what do you have to do?
Well, you're always bloody peeling bloody potatoes. You've never seen so many potatoes in your life. And washing Dixies up, you know, what they cook the food in.
So there'd be no, it's just a normal potato peeler, not a sort of...
No, just with your hands. I think there was more bloody wasted on the peel than what went in the potato.
And what about washing? Washing the Dixies and things. I mean, they didn't have proper detergent. Well, they didn't have detergent.
No. They took some cleaner. The only bright spot, the brightest part about it was, I got to come home that weekend. And my mother says, Lance, have you got no soap up there? I says, why? She says, you're filthy. I says, the bloody water's freezing up there. And I actually got a bath at home. Another week, I was only up there for a fortnight, and then we came back, but you know, we had to drive back, so the first night on the way back, we stopped at a camp in Ripon, had the night there, continued on the next day, this was guns, this was everything, had to come back, and then we stopped at Lichfield, where I'd never even heard of. Well, there's a lad I know who I was in with, who came from Wolverhampton, and he took us to his home. That night, ran a couple straight back again, but he took us home and had a bath, and his mum made us a nice meal. And it was back to Chidworth the next day. So then I had to start again, moving where am I going to sleep? And I didn't have a room, I didn't have a troop or nothing, but then they told us I was with the one called Dog Troop. And
which battery?
170 MGM Field Battery.
So it's D Troop.
Dog Troop, yeah.
Now, what was your reception like with them? I mean, you know, from your new, you're going to be with them for the best part of two years.
People I'd never met, yeah.
How did they treat you?
Well, that was okay. I think some of the sergeants, but not our sergeants, could have been bastards if you'd let them, but they told us about certain sergeants, and luckily they were in this Charlie troop, which was the famous one, which was who had been awarded the American Citation for bravery, because they supported the Gloucesters in Korea. And I think they lost quite a few people as well.
So, any particular people you met then?
In there?
Well, when you first went to D Troop, anybody you remember?
I remember quite a few of them, but the one that sticks out in my mind is my mate Len.
Is this Len
Selleck? Yes.
Now tell us about Len and about the others, because you know we interviewed Len Selleck, but what were they like, these people?
Len didn't like the army at all. Took 2 years out of his life, I think. There was Len and there was Roy.
What was Len like there? Tell us a bit more about what he was like. And then
well, he was a cockney, wasn't he? Full of his bloody self.
Did you like him straight away? Or
not really, no. No.
So how did you get to be mates then?
Well, when we were there, we were in the same room for a start. And there was only seven people in the room. And I wasn't one for making enemies. But Len used to go. He used to go home every bloody weekend, and I was a bit jealous because I had to have a 48-hour pass before I could even attempt to come home. And he used to go home every bloody Friday night. I mean, I was the only one in that room of seven who couldn't go home. Lads from Wales went home, lads from Sheffield went home, and I was stuck. Do you know what I did on a Sunday night? I made bloody beds and blanco and stuff for other people, which I didn't mind because I was... They were going home and having a good time, seeing wives and girlfriends and that.
So who else was Len? Now, his attitude to the army was different to yours, wasn't it? I think it's fair to say. Tell us about that. What was his attitude? I mean, you know we've talked to him, but what did you, from outside, what did you think of his attitude to the army?
Well, he just didn't... I mean, he had the scruffiest look you've ever seen in your life. He just wasn't made to be in the army. You know, he just wasn't physically made out for the army because he was skinny, his skinny bloody legs, still got them. We just didn't like it. And he was a radio operator as well. But he got in early with a man called Captain Lacey, who sort of, Len could drive as a young man, and he was Captain Lacey's driver.
Now, so that's Len Selleck. Now, who else? You mentioned somebody.
Roy
Jemmett. Jemmett, how do you spell that?
J-E-M-M-E-T. Roy lives in Essex. He's always an Essex boy.
And what was he like? Why him?
Well, because he was Len's original best mate. Because them two used to both smoke, and Roy could get cheap cigarettes. They were the two always had cigarettes. And the cigarettes were Pall Mall. They were always Pall Mall.
And what was Roy Jemmett like?
I like Roy. I still do. He was a nice lad. He finished up. They gave him a stripe in the finish. It was a bombardier in the finish.
So he again had a different attitude to the army from Len. You and him?
Yeah, I think he would have done. Yeah, that's why he got the stripe. Len would never get a stripe.
Now, so what was your room like? I mean, what sort of... Was this a proper barrack?
Oh, yes, yeah. We were upstairs.
Tell me about, can you describe the barracks?
Well, there were big, long buildings. There was a balcony on each one. The rooms had... There were seven beds in our room. We had two showers, three toilets, four washing basins. Couldn't complain at that. Now, some of them never used the bloody shower, though. And then we backed right onto the parade ground, because we'd all see what was going on at the parade ground. We were right opposite the canteen, so we weren't very far from that neither. And they were reasonably new in those days. In fact, they were really brand new, I think.
And what about cleaning? What were room inspections like?
Well, there weren't that many, but when they did come, they used to give you this polish to do with the floors with and a bumper. And
can you explain what a bumper is for them?
It's a big long, it's like a heavy flat plate with a soft bottom, but then you used to put rags around it to polish. But on these floors, this polish took some getting off or making it shine. So between us, we used to buy boot polish and do it all with boot polish, and it used to come up dead easy and nice. Because when we were there, we had a thing called admin inspection, which everything, everything has to be polished. I mean, originally when I went to Chidworth, I was working on the guns down there. We had a big, a gun garage, and everything had to be polished, burnished. No.
Why were you working on the guns?
Well, because that's all we had to do. We just had guns. We weren't using wirelesses or nothing like that when we were there.
So tell me about polishing the guns.
The other thing which I've never seen since, it's like a chain glove, and you burnish things and it came up like chrome. But everything, I mean, all the studs were all painted white and red. And we used to go down there every day, polish the guns. They never used to get bloody used. I never saw them fire anymore, just once more.
So what about the rest of the limber and
That was all in there with us, yeah.
Now, could you drive at all?
No, not then.
So any other duties you have while you
were... Well, you just did guard duties.
Now, tell me what guard duty was.
My guard duty used to start at 6 o'clock at night. You used to go on parade, all your best gear on. And
now, did they have the stick man?
Yes.
Just explain what it was.
Well, it was judged to be the smartest, or who'd put the most work into his uniform. Which I got once. But unfortunately, I didn't have nothing on belonging to me. I had my mate's greatcoat on, a sergeant major's boots. And he was going to put us on a charge when he found out I had his boots on, but he didn't.
And what happened if you got the stick, man?
That was you. Finished. You were off. The rest of the night was yours. I mean, you did a guard through the night, 2 hours on and 4 hours off, but then you were still expected to go to bloody work the next morning.
So it was worth winning the stick?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, especially that time when I won the stick, I'd been travelling all night from home. I'd been on holiday. When I got there, I found out I was on guard straight away.
Now, any other duties you're doing then? Polishing the guns? What else? Any training on the wirelesses or...?
No, never did.
Any OP duty training? Because that's what you're going to do.
What OP?
Observation post duty.
Yeah, I only did that one.
So what were you doing all day?
Polishing guns. And then eventually I got into the radio stores just to sit in there. If anybody wanted anything, you would issue with them. We used to have our own wireless in there.
So what was in this wireless?
All these sets, what we used to do, they were all in banks. They never went out.
So you just sit in there?
Yeah. And if anybody needed anything to go out with, we used to issue it.
Anything else you're doing?
No, not really, no.
What about recreations for fun?
Pictures, that's all you could do. There was two cinemas in, one called the Electric. Can't remember what they called the other one. We used to do guards. I mean, we used to do escorts at the, there was a military hospital there.
We'll come back to that. Well, the cinemas in the... Tell us about the cinemas then.
Well, one was in the camp, actually in the camp, it was called the Electric.
And what sort of programme would it put on?
Well, whatever was out at the time.
So it wasn't any information films or war films?
No, just normal run-of-the-mill movies.
And what about drinking? I mean, because you'd enjoy drinking when you were out.
We had a nice naffy in there, just a drink in the naffy.
So what was the naffy like?
Well, that was modern as well, because it was a reasonably new built camp. And I always remember I've always liked television. And I had a television down there, but it was a projector one, which used to put a big screen on it as big as that. And like I say, Len used to go, he used to go up to London on the weekend, and I was invited up to Len's. So, you know, there was times I'd go up with Len.
So what do you remember about that?
Well, the first time I went, well, I had to warn him about something, because I don't think this is liable. They were after him for something. I don't know what it was. I think he'd been home a long time, and he had a sort of a sick note in. But then I heard on the grapevine they were going to come up and see him. So I had a chance to go up to Staines in Middlesex. We were taking some old vehicles up to go into a storage up there. And I went to see Len, who lived at Islington, and told him what was happening. But everything was squared up. Nothing came, but he just came back to camp and said he was all right now.
And what do you do when you're in London?
Drink. That's all we did. Len didn't drink it. He drank in them days, but I mean, it was a regular thing for me. It was a way of life for me. I mean, it was when I was in Durham, it was every night.
So what? Now you mentioned some other duties about hospital. What were you doing? What was that about?
Well, if there was somebody who was sort of in clink in your local clink, I mean, they could do up to 28 days in the guardhouse. If they took ill, they took them down to the hospital, so we would have to expect to go down and look after them.
Why?
In case they ran away. And there was one there one night. We couldn't, there was only one in, we couldn't find him. He was missing for hours, then he came back. And I says to him, and he just goes, "Where have you been?" He says, "We paint the pictures." That's a don't believe it.
Now, so. From what I'm getting at the moment, is there's not much going on at Tidworth. The first couple of months. So what happens next then?
Well, the next thing is we were told we were going to go to Ireland.
Now, when was that?
57, January 57.
Now, that's a year and 3 months in. Nothing happened in the first year and 3 months then?
No, it was boring. Nothing really. No.
You didn't learn to drive, or?
There's a one, yeah. Sorry.
About that,
yeah. Well, the first time, they said, you're going on a driving course. And then you could have been a driver, operator, which was like another grade, which was more money. So I went out with this guy.
Now, what were you learning to drive on?
It was a one-ton Austin. And I'd never even been in a driver's seat before. And he stopped on this country lane somewhere in near Tidworth. He says, "Right, it's your turn." I got in. And I said, "What do you do?" He says, "Have you never driven before?" I said, "No, I've never driven before." So he showed us, and I got away with it, and I did pretty good, I thought. Probably pretty dangerous as well. So I did. It wasn't a course as such. It was just a matter of giving you something to do. And I didn't really, I did a bit of driving down there, but I didn't really drive or pass my test till I was in Ireland.
So you were just learning to drive?
Yeah.
Now, but no, you didn't learn any OP duties or anything?
Not really, no.
There's no training on anything?
No, just the, you know, rifles and Sten guns and...
Oh, well, tell us about that, the weapons training. Because you hadn't done that.
No,
idea.
No.
But take us through the weapons training. Which weapons do you do?
303 rifle, Sten gun, the Bren gun.
And take us the rifle first. How do they teach you on that?
Well, they show you how to hold it and make sure it's, because it has a hell of a kick on it, and a hell of a bang in your ear as well when it goes up. But I got to like it. I qualified as a marksman. I don't know how, but I did.
So your eyes weren't that bad.
No, I think it was luck.
Oh. Then there's the Sten.
The Sten gun, yeah, which I finished up years and being a radio operator, if you had a
what
one.
What did you think of the Sten? Because it's not...
Well, I think you're lucky to hit a barn door with it if you were standing in front of it. But not like the rifle. The rifle was very accurate.
So why was it so inaccurate, do you think, the Sten?
Well, it's such a basic piece, it's like a bloody Meccano. And it fires bigger, I think it's a 9mm bullet in it. and it wants to move all the time, because you've got your the call over there where your bullets are in there, and it's a
the
shoot
magazine.
The magazine, and the bullet, the cartridges are shooting out this way, and the gun wants to go that way all the time.
The opposite way.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust it.
Were you aware that did they tell you if you dropped it, it might go off?
Yes, and it did when we were in Ireland.
Okay, we'll come back to that. And what about the Bren gun? That was the last of the weapons.
Yeah, well, that to me fired the same bullets as the 303, which was very accurate because it had a bipod at the front, two legs. And it was accurate. So all it did was like jump backwards a little bit.
Did you learn to strip it down? And
yes. Yeah.
Now, what about, did you do the bayonet at all? I should mention that with the rifle.
Never used a bayonet.
Any hand grenades?
No.
So it was just weapons training on those things.
That was at Tynwyth.
Now, anything else at Tynwyth? You looked as if you'd remembered something.
I thought I was getting ahead of myself. No, it was when we were coming up to go, when Sue was stuck its ugly head in the air. We had the...
In 56?
Yes.
So tell me about that.
Well... we had to paint everything yellow, blanco, wagons, guns, everything. And then just before they were virtually due to go, they moved me out because of my eyes, said I was only grade two, which I was disappointed in. I had to go and join another set of lads.
Who did they move you out to?
Well, I can't remember the regiment, but I know they had Beaufort guns. And I moved to Bulford, just to 2 or 3 miles up the road, actually. And to this day, I've got a good memory. I can't even remember how long I was there, but I don't think it was very long. Because the shift is back again when Sewers was finished. And got in my own room and everything.
Because they never went again, did they?
No, they didn't go, no.
So you basically just went to this other unit. How did you feel about that?
I wasn't very happy because the lads I knew back there was going to meet new people. And to this day, and I still can't remember, put my hand on anything I can remember about it. It could have only been a few weeks or something like that, but I can't honestly remember a thing about it. And then I came back and I got the usual greeting. Not you again, we thought we got rid of you. Selig being one of them.
So you went back to the unit?
Yeah.
And how are you getting on generally? I mean... You know, were you looking forward to the end of your time, or were you? Because you know, you'd done a year and a half by then.
Yeah.
Well, how did you feel about it?
Well, I just wanted to do my time, Peter. You know, get rid of it without causing any bother. I did come back to the barracks once because the bus was late fetching us back, and that was the only time I'd been in any trouble at all. All the time I'd been in.
So. You were just wanting to get through it. That was all. You were not interested in joining the army, or
no.
It never appealed to you.
No, never.